Some time back, I wrote down a few words. This morning, they come back very clear to my heart. And I trust that they will come back to our hearts together. The price is paid, the way made known. We each must make that choice alone. To know him in his sufferings too, and to fellowship God's chosen few. The Course says, I'm on my way to my new home. I'm walking there by grace alone. I think sometimes we don't fully realize what grace is. I know we've talked a lot about it. Grace is what Jesus Christ sets us free unto. Grace is the impossibility with man and the possible with God. That's what salvation's all about. I think so often that as we look at these different areas that we are looking at in recent days, that something rises up within us and we know that there is a need. We desire after the inward man to do the will of God. We know there's only one way. And yet we see our limitations. You know why we see our limitations? Because we're not walking by grace alone. We're looking at ourselves. We're hoping rather than beholding. Now, hope should be in Christ, should not be in anything that we are doing. And that's why, as we look at the scriptures, even this morning, they speak to us so clearly. And yet, I think that sometimes we're just rocked to sleep. We do not see with clarity the gospel. Well, may the Lord open up our eyes. If we could come to that one place of absoluteness in God this morning, we wouldn't have to go any farther, at least today. If we could come to that place of absoluteness to know that salvation is moving in Christ. Now, it all sounds good because we know the term. But do we know the reality of it? That's what we must question each one of our hearts. And when I'm saying it to you, I'm saying it to me. To know the reality of moving in Christ, moving in union with him. Because that's the only place that grace works. There is no other grace. We don't have a set of rules. And yet so often do we not creep in to the household of God. It's fixed in our minds with the no's and the yes's, the do's and the don'ts. In Christ there is no do's or don'ts. Come on, follow me this morning, because what I'm saying is not another gospel. It's the only gospel. The gospel of grace, where God works. There is nothing. There's nothing that you can do. Nothing that I can do. There's no labor. There's no strength. There's no struggling. There's no straining. I have entered in to the liberty. What is that liberty? Grace. Grace is where God takes over. Grace is where God is moving. It's the reality that teaches us how to live in this present life godly. It leads us step by step. There is no conquering as we go. He has conquered. All he asks us to do is walk in union with him. Is that true? Oftentimes we're out here fighting, struggling. We're not standing. When I say standing, I'm not talking about being stale. I'm talking about standing in God, moving in the Spirit as we're led by the Spirit. If you'll take the Word of God this morning and you will take and allow the Spirit to take and go through just the New Testament to see the place where He puts the emphasis, you'll see one thing. It's in union with Christ. I know it flashes back to our minds, doesn't it? The first two chapters of Ephesians where it speaks of in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Speaking about the union, speaking about the blessings. And yet sometimes I think that we relate the blessings to the blessings of our hour in this world, but the blessings are ours in Christ Jesus. Turn with me this morning to the 7th chapter of Romans. Very negative word, but a place of positive moving. I'm not talking about Romans, I'm talking about in Christ. Talking about grace. But if 7 does anything, beloved, if it does anything, it does this for me. I hope it does it for you. It cuts at the heart of religion. It reveals what religion is. And if we're not very careful, if we're not in union with Christ, where are we? We're in the do's and don'ts. We're in the trying. We're in the struggling. Where is that? That's not in Christ. It's in the hoping, wanting to do, but can't do. What does the Apostle Paul say in the book of Galatians? Flesh against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. But what's he say? You're not under the law. Most people don't want to read that second verse. And most of us, it's afar off, just beyond our reach, not by the grace of God. That's what Calvary's all about, to bring us in, to win the victory, that all we have to do is believe, active believing, active faith that brings us within the realm of union. Do we know what this union is all about? Oh, yes, we can define some of it now, but brethren, we need to take and press on in. Sing that song, victory will come. Brother, it came when Jesus Christ came into our lives. It came. The victory came, and it cut away at everything else. This is what Paul's speaking about the law. The law was the religion of that day. Listen, go back to the very beginning. God spoke to Adam. Said, Adam, you can eat of all of these trees. But there's one tree that you can't eat of. The knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Of the do's and don'ts. Of the moving in yourself. Because in Christ, there is no do's or don'ts. Come on now, follow me closely, or you'll miss what I'm trying to say. In Christ, there are no do's and don'ts. In Christ, in union with Christ, we will, as we move in life, fulfill every demand of our Father. All that He is doing will be worked in us. All of the holiness, all of the righteousness, all of that which is not of Him shall be wiped away and taken. All God asks you to do is to walk in the simplicity of that union. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, Law began in the garden. Law came from God, and it was given to Moses. But beloved, we think that we have moved away from law, and there is no law. But this morning, all religion is law. Because religion is not moving in that vital union with God. So everything that religion promises man this morning, and there's where the negative comes in, and that's where we need, if we do not know it, religion promises man everything that God's Word says, but it's not able to bring the reality of it in their lives because it's not moving in it itself. It's preaching another gospel with its lives. It's speaking words with no power, not knowing the ability of God to break into the liberty that is ours in Christ Jesus. To not live in a place to where there's fears, we've been set free. We've been brought in to the banqueting table. And we're not going to experience the areas that we've been encouraging each other in here in recent days unless we move in grace. Remember, grace is the impossible with man and the possible with God. Okay? Because we define grace in all different ways. But grace is where God is God. And He came to not give you a better life. He came to give you His life. As you go on and read, and I'm not going to read it verse by verse this morning. We might go on through it at some other time. But there's one thing that stands out here. There's only one way to be free from the law. Death. Paul uses the example of the husband and wife relationship, marriage. And he says there's only one way to be free, and that's death. And that's where we look at that. And I'm sure that we desire to know the reality of Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified. Brother, he was set free from religion. He was a religionist of the highest degree. And I'm saying this morning, and why I'm bringing the religious aspect, because it's very easy for us to creep into the same mentality. It's easy for us to sit there without the relationship with God and creep into this area and sit down and rest in this place and come to the realization and make the confession, I want to, but I can't. Is that true? Arise this morning. We're not going to stay there. And we're going to order our lives. We're going to order our homes. We can't order our homes without ordering our lives. How are we going to order our lives? In the grace of God. What does that mean? That means that with God, it's possible. With me, all it is do's and don'ts. It's eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But hallelujah, He sent the Spirit. Brethren, to quicken each one of us, to make us alive, take these bodies that were dead because of sin, these minds that could not see beyond our own selves and our own mentality, as far as that will take us. It'll take you to the moon. It has. And they're thinking about Mars. That's what the natural mind will do. What do you think the natural mind this morning is taking the religious system in? And we do not see the dangers of it. And if we don't see the reality, if we're not experiencing the reality of it, it'll creep right in here. Maybe we don't see the dangers. Most time we don't. That's why the exhortation by the apostle, awake thou that sleepeth. In other words, stir yourself. If you've been slothful, well, there's time to arise. This is the hour. This is the time that God is taking and molding us together. He is transforming us. We're being changed. And don't let me just repeat the scriptures for us without it becoming something to us. We're being changed from glory to glory. What does that mean? Grace, God's ability, the impossible to the impossible. Glory. When I stand and look at myself, I'm not looking at grace. I'm looking at what I can do. And if you don't believe what I'm saying this morning, then listen to yourself many times. And if you don't believe yourself, then listen to the religious world and see what they're saying. It's what I can do, what I can do, what I can do. Come on, this dude. Come on, strengthen here. Come on, we're trying to teach ourselves into it. Got the program, got the method. Come on. None of these work. There's only one thing that works. Grace. The Holy Spirit. And that's the provision. That's salvation. Those that are led by the Spirit. Listen to it again afresh. Those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Not those of us that are out there wandering around and hoping that we're going to do things right. That's why we can't enter into some of these other things. I can see that here's what God wants, and we can show each other what God wants, and each one of us are longing for what God wants, but God's the only one that can take us into it. God's the only one that allow us can come in to the banqueting hall and sit down and experience and know the love of God. We can talk about the love of God, but it's no good to talk about the love of God unless we experience it. Because we will, if we do not experience it, if we do not know what it is, if we do not know the sacrifice that was given and revealed in His love, you'll know what we'll do? We'll redefine it to suit our situation. Rather than knowing the ability that comes from God. Now, that's the negative. And we need to see that. Because we need not to walk down these dead-end roads. A lot of times we do. We've talked about it, our philosophies, and you've come to a dead-end road in your philosophy. We've talked about raising children, and we've talked about all of that. It's a dead-end road. Every philosophy there is about it is a dead-end road. There's only one thing that works, and that's grace. There's only one that can lead us in this road and pathway of grace, and that's God Himself, the Holy Spirit. We've got to quit talking about it. And don't get me wrong now. Follow me. We got to quit singing about it. I didn't say stop now. Just we got to quit singing about it unless we're experiencing it. Because it gives us a false sense of safety. Just because we can come in and sing about it. I believe it. That's not enough. The devils believe. See, we can get rocked to sleep with all of these things. And yet there's only one thing. The church of the living God is alive. It's alive in God. It's crucified to the world. And the world to it. Isn't that what Paul said in Galatians? Do we know what that is? Because so many times as we look back and we look to the present, we see how much of the old we've tried to drag along and bring into our midst of the religion that we came from. The philosophies that we came from.
It dims the light. God wants a pure light that he can set on a candlestick and lift up. And the only pure light is the light that comes from grace. That which is impossible with man, impossible with God. Doesn't do any good, brethren, to confess that. Confession is cheap. You hear it on every hand today. Just confess it and it's yours. Don't believe it. Faith. Come on. Faith. But I don't have much. He didn't ask you to have much. Have you heard him? Yes, I've heard him. Have you moved in what he said? I've been encouraging us and been encouraging my own heart. Get your relationship up to date. Bring it up to date. Don't be a spiritual giant or a spiritual... I don't want to call you that. But you know what I'm saying. Somebody that thinks that we're spiritual, and yet we have not brought our relationship up to date. God's not looking for giants. If you're in the family of God, you're a son. You're in the school of the Spirit. I mean, he's teaching. He's guiding. He's opening your eyes to see. Because you're not going to see anything unless he shows it to you. And he never shows you anything unless he wants you to walk in it. What are we looking for? One thing that we need to know the reality of, and let me stress it. I have been crucified with Christ. I say that because that's the beginning point of being freed from sin and the law and religion. Jesus Christ, you've heard it said so many times that we just let it pour off of our back. He didn't come to give us religion. He came to give us life. He came to give us himself. Man already had the greatest religion that there was. They came when God was up in the mountain giving Moses the Ten Commandments. They were down building a calf. Religion. Something that they could bow down as far as God was concerned. Don't we see the evil of it? Because I believe, brethren, if we are those that are in Christ, there's one thing that we see, the awfulness of sin. Have you seen the awfulness of sin? Do you know what sin is? Well, God will reveal it to you. But you don't want to get close to it. You don't want to try to just escape by and be lukewarm, because you know what happens to those that are lukewarm? God wants a people that he has set afire with himself. What do you think he's talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire? Man, a fire that lights our lives. Not the fire that you're thinking about. Don't relate it to something that you see as far as fire is concerned. We're talking about the fire of God, the consuming fire of God that consumes our lives. And let the fragrance... Isn't that what happened when the sacrifice was laid upon the altar? The fragrance of the sacrifice went up into heaven. The fragrance of the fat, that which God had built in our lives. That's what it's speaking about. That fragrance ascending into heaven. The fire of God. Don't sell it short. Man, I want the fire to burn up what God is giving so that my life, I can present my life, you can present your life, a living sacrifice. A life filled to overflowing. That's the beginning. No longer am I living. But I am alive. It's a new life. It's not trying to mix two lives. It's a new life. You've already heard the scripture just before it. If any man be in Christ, that's 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? If any man be in Christ, he is a what? He is a new creature. He is a new creation. Oh, hallelujah. Think on that. But my mind, hallelujah, God's going to renew your mind. By the Spirit, he's going to quicken that mind. He's going to allow you to think into God. Because unless your mind is brought to a place that he can be all in all, how do you think we're going to stop and think upon the Lord and know his wisdom and knowledge in the great task that he has laid before us? As far as our relationship one with another and our relationship and our work and labor in our families. Grace brings us into the love of God. We're not going to define it. God's going to define it. He's going to lead you. We're going to see love. Let's quit talking about it. Now, understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying to quit talking about it. But if we're not going to live it, just don't talk about it. But if we're pressing on, brethren, but I'm tattered and torn. You heard what that song said, didn't you? Hallelujah. They were there to discourage him. He's pressing on, going over the top of the mountain by the power of God. And that's where we're going, brother. Right over the top of our circumstance. Why? Because of grace. The impossible with us is God's possibility in the kingdom. To know his love, to experience his love. We've talked about it so long. We've philosophized about it so long that we think that that will do it and that will express it, but that won't express it. It takes the divine nature of God in you. It takes a working of God to show the love. You don't do it from yourself. And remember, if you try, you haven't tasted. You're not freed from the law if you try within yourself on a continued basis. You're still in religion. Call it what you want to. You're still under the law. You're trying to do something. The law was never given to give life, was it? We've just been over these things, haven't we? Just following along in the life that God wants to set us free, cut these things away from us. We can't do anything in the natural. We can't even follow a set of commandments and please God. There's only one thing that can please God. Say it again. You're not saying it loud enough. Because you don't believe it. Just shout it. Faith! Wait a minute, that's too loud. Did heaven hear it? Come on, let's say it together. Faith! That's the only thing that can please God. None of your efforts, as great or as feeble as they may be, can please God. But hallelujah, Paul tells us, but brother, I'm still in the flesh. And I can hear it. The Apostle Paul says, you're no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Hallelujah. But brother, that's just positive strength to know, brother, that's a reality. John says when he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Let me ask us a question. Do we need to come again for that refreshing? I'm hunting for words, brother, because I just don't believe we just can come and we get emptied out and we've got to get filled again. We need to stay filled. We need to continue to drink. So I don't want to spoil our theology. about once filled, always filled. I had an experience one day. I don't care what kind of experience you had one day. What have you got today? Come on, I'm not making fun of us, brother. I'm talking to all of us. What have I got today? What I have is by grace and grace alone. I'm on my way to my new home. I'm walking there by grace alone. I wonder if I knew what I was writing down when I wrote those words down. Because if you had asked me this morning and I think back to the time that I wrote them down, they did not have the meaning that they had this morning. Why? Because I've experienced a little bit more of God. Now they mean something more. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. A religionist. You call them, because we're afraid to be absolute, you call them Christians. Come on now, follow me, because you got to stay in the love of God, what I'm saying. I've got to stay in the love of God. Did you hear what Jesus called the religionist of his day? And yet here was the love of God being poured out. We've got to see the dangers. Brother, when they start gathering along the road as those singers did, tried to stop his progress in God, he hurried along. He quickened his step. He moved on towards the mountain. I'm not trying to type that into anything. I'm just saying that anywhere along the line that the religion steps out to us and tries to get us to compromise in this area of grace, we need to realize what grace is all about. Grace is not that which covers our sin. Grace is that which deals with our sins and does the impossible. Comes in and gives us new life. God doesn't want anything you were, the old. He's got something brand new for you. It's his life now. He don't want to make you better to where you can live a better life pleasing to him, because he knows that anything that you do will only be religious. It's only what he can do. Have you come to that realization this morning? Because I believe that's what God is speaking to our hearts. If nothing else, come to the realization that I can do nothing separate from him. The first, death. What's it do? Frees me from the law, frees me from religion, frees me from myself, frees me from sin. That's what it does. It doesn't forgive my sins. The blood of Jesus Christ forgives my sins. But death frees me. Now, resurrection, power, power of God, resurrection power, new life, to be led, to know, to experience, to see those spiritual attributes added to my life. Not because I'm adding them, but because I am living in him. I can't pass by to encourage us again in the simple walk of faith. Those that of us that have been justified live by faith. Utter dependence. Not what you can do, what he can do. When God speaks, and he has spoken to us in his Son, And he sent the Holy Spirit, and he said, when he comes, he will lead you into all truth. We're talking about all truth and all spirit. And that's why Jesus said, those that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's not a balance. You've heard me say it about other things. There's not a balance. He didn't say, you got to live a balanced life. No, no. Spirit built on the top of truth. A life lived in his victory. In Christ, in union with Christ, what do? We triumph. In where? Say it. I already said in Christ. What do we triumph in? Everything. Is that not true? Read it for yourself where it's talking about it over there in 2 Corinthians. You'll find out don't make any difference what it is. We're more than conquerors. We're triumphing. Why? In him. Don't get out of him. We're not doing anything separate from him. It's his life. It's his grace that we're talking about. It's his life. It's the Spirit this morning that quickens. No, none of us have attained. We need to walk in the light today as he is in the light. But we're up to date, I hope. Or shall I say, I trust. But it will, beloved, manifest in the days that are before us, whether we're up to date or not. Whether we have come to the Lord and responded at that place and quit all the excuses, which are nothing more than what you can do. Is that true? All your excuses is nothing more than what you can do and you haven't done. God isn't concerned what you can do. That's where religion comes in and says, come on, this is abundant life. Come on, we'll get you busy in the system. It isn't what you can do. It's what God can do. And God has a definite way of working. It's his way. He reserves it unto himself. And he has brought us the fullness of provisions. There's not a one of you that can stand with one excuse this morning as far as grace is concerned. And this is what God has bid us all to enter into. We must come to this place. How do I enter in? By faith. How do I work this love? Love that worketh what? Faith that worketh, right? By what? Say it. Love. His nature. Not you. Not you working it up. What God can do. You know what we do? We look at ourselves and we say, oh, wretched man that I am. We say, I'm sure I'm in seven. No, not in Christ. You'll never find yourself in seven if you're in Christ. There is a rapturing that takes place from the old to the kingdom of his dear Son. And the Spirit of God does it. And in the kingdom, it's what God can do. That's grace. Glory.